Chapter 18. And lips, and munching of the nails. There they were all, without disguise, in naked ugliness and horror. In the dining room, a bare, dull, dreary place, with nothing for the eye to rest on, but the empty walls, a woman was locked up alone. She was bent, they told me, on committing suicide. If anything could have strengthened her in her resolution, it would certainly have been the insupportable monotony of such an existence. The terrible crowd with which these halls and galleries were filled, so shocked me, that I abridged my stay within the shortest limits, and declined to see that portion of the building in which the refractory and violent were under closer restraint. I have no doubt that the gentleman who presided over this establishment at the time I write of was competent to manage it, and had done all in his power to promote its usefulness. But will it be believed that the miserable strife of party feeling is carried even into this sad refuge of afflicted and degraded humanity? Will it be believed that the eyes which are to watch over and control the wanderings of minds on which the most dreadful visitation to which our nature is exposed has fallen, must wear the glasses of some wretched side in politics? Will it be believed that the governor of such a house as this is appointed and deposed and changed perpetually, as parties fluctuate and vary, and as their despicable weathercocks are blown this way or that? 100 times in every week, some new most paltry exhibition of that narrow-minded and injurious party spirit, which is the simum of America, sickening and blighting everything of wholesome life within its reach, was forced upon my notice, but I never turned my back upon it with feelings of such deep disgust and measureless contempt, as when I crossed the threshold of this madhouse. At a short distance from this building is another called the Almshouse, that is to say, the workhouse of New York. This is a large institution also. Lodging, I believe, when I was there, nearly 1,000 poor. It was badly ventilated, and badly lighted, was not too clean, and impressed me, on the whole, very uncomfortably. But it must be remembered that New York, as a great emporium of commerce, and as a place of general resort, not only from all parts of the states, but from most parts of the world, has always a large pauper population to provide for, and labors, therefore, under peculiar difficulties in this respect. Nor must it be forgotten that New York is a large town, and that in all large towns a vast amount of good and evil is intermixed and jumbled up together. In the same neighborhood is the farm where young orphans are nursed and bred. I did not see it, but I believe it is well conducted, and I can the more easily credit it, from knowing how mindful they usually are, in America, of that beautiful passage in the litany which remembers all sick persons and young children. I was taken to these institutions by water, in a boat belonging to the island jail, and rowed by a crew of prisoners, who were dressed in a striped uniform of black and buff, in which they looked like faded tigers. They took me, by the same conveyance, to the jail itself. It is an old prison, and quite a pioneer establishment, on the plan I have already described. I was glad to hear this, for it is unquestionably a very indifferent one. The most is made, however, of the means it possesses, and it is as well regulated as such a place can be. The women work in covered sheds, erected for that purpose. If I remember right, there are no shops for the men, but be that as it may, the greater part of them labor in certain stone quarries near at hand. The day being very wet indeed, this labor was suspended, and the prisoners were in their cells. Imagine these cells, some 200 or 300 in number, and in every one a man locked up, this one at his door for air, with his hands thrust through the grate. This one in bed in the middle of the day, remember, and this one flung down in a heap upon the ground, with his head against the bars, like a wild beast. Make the rain pour down, outside, in torrents. Put the everlasting stove in the midst, hot, and suffocating, and vaporous, as a witch's cauldron. add a collection of gentle odors, such as would arise from 1,000 mildewed umbrellas, wet through, and 1,000 buck baskets, full of half-washed linen, and there is the prison, as it was that day. The prison for the state at Sing Sing is, on the other hand, a model jail. That, and Auburn, are, I believe, the largest and best examples of the silent system. In another part of the city, is the refuge for the destitute. An institution whose object is to reclaim youthful offenders, male and female, black and white, without distinction, to teach them useful trades, apprentice them to respectable masters, and make them worthy members of society. Its design, it will be seen, is similar to that at Boston, and it is a no less meritorious and admirable establishment. A suspicion crossed my mind during my inspection of this noble charity, whether the superintendent had quite sufficient knowledge of the world and worldly characters, and whether he did not commit a great mistake in treating some young girls, who were to all intents and purposes, by their years and their past lives, women, as though they were little children, which certainly had a ludicrous effect in my eyes, and, or I am much mistaken, in theirs also. As the institution, however, is always under a vigilant examination of a body of gentlemen of great intelligence and experience, it cannot fail to be well conducted. And whether I am right or wrong in this slight particular is unimportant to its deserts and character, which it would be difficult to estimate too highly. In addition to these establishments, there are in New York excellent hospitals and schools, literary institutions and libraries, an admirable fire department, as indeed it should be, having constant practice, and charities of every sort and kind. In the suburbs there is a spacious cemetery, unfinished yet, but every day improving. The saddest tomb I saw there was the stranger's grave, dedicated to the different hotels in this city. Apostrophe, there are three principal theaters. Two of them, the Park and the Bowery, are large, elegant, and handsome buildings, and are, I grieve to write it, generally deserted. The third, the Olympic, is a tiny show box for vaudevilles and burlesques. It is singularly well conducted by Mr. Mitchell, a comic actor of great quiet humor and originality, who is well remembered and esteemed by London playgoers. I am happy to report of this deserving gentleman, that his benches are usually well filled, and that his theater rings with merriment every night. I had almost forgotten a small summer theater, called Nibbles, with gardens and open-air amusements attached, but I believe it is not exempt from the general depression under which theatrical property, or what is humorously called by that name, unfortunately labors. The country round New York is surpassingly and exquisitely picturesque. The climate, as I have already intimated, is somewhat of the warmest. What it would be, without the sea breezes which come from its beautiful bay in the evening time, I will not throw myself or my readers into a fever by inquiring. The tone of the best society in this city is like that of Boston. Here and there, it may be, with a greater infusion of the mercantile spirit, but generally polished and refined, and always most hospitable. The houses and tables are elegant, the hours later and more rakish, and there is, perhaps, a greater spirit of contention in reference to appearances, and the display of wealth and costly living. The ladies are singularly beautiful. Before I left New York, I made arrangements for securing a passage home in the George Washington packet ship, which was advertised to sail in June. That being the month in which I had determined, if prevented by no accident in the course of my ramblings, to leave America. I never thought that going back to England, returning to all who are dear to me, and to pursuits that have insensibly grown to be a part of my nature, I could have felt so much sorrow as I endured when I parted at last, on board this ship, with the friends who had accompanied me from this city. I never thought the name of any place, so far away and so lately known, could ever associate itself in my mind with the crowd of affectionate remembrances that now cluster about it. There are those in this city who would brighten, to me, the darkest winter day that ever glimmered, and went out in Lapland, and before whose presence even home grew dim, when they and I exchanged that painful word which mingles with our every thought and deed, which haunts our cradle heads in infancy, and closes up the vista of our lives in age. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.